Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Good morning again, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. This is Elder David Wise, and we produce this program in conjunction with Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church and Elder Joe Nettles, who shares the time on the program. And we're glad to have you here with us this morning, and we hope that we can be a part of your regular week. If you listen and enjoy our program, we'd love to hear from you at our website, gospel-of-grace.com. You can email us. We've had great correspondence from people in multiple different parts of America, have received emails from people in Africa and England and in Canada, and we're just thankful that we can provide the gospel and an avenue that God's children can find us on such a broad platform in the internet. And we'd love to hear from you if you are listening. If you're in our local area in North Mississippi and you enjoy our program, we'd love to meet you. We'd love to have you come worship with us at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church at 11 Staten Road. We're on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi, and Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church is outside Caledonia, Mississippi, and both of our churches meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., and then we also meet every Wednesday night in Starkville, Mississippi at the La Quinta Inn, beginning at 6 o'clock p.m. for a joint fellowship worship service. And again, we'd love to have you come out. Our fall semester will be beginning at Mississippi State and be having a good bit of students from Mississippi State, both new and old, coming to our worship, especially on Wednesday nights, but also at Macedonia. And if you know of anyone, any students that are coming to the Starkville area, to Mississippi State in the fall, be sure and let us know about it. Be sure and shoot me an email so we can get in contact with them and they can attend our worship services. We wanted to give you just a brief summary of our trip to Kenya. We thank you for your prayers on our behalf. We've tried to share that with you here on the program, and we hope that you kept us in your prayers, and we believe that the Lord answered and blessed in a special way. I spent 5.5 days there in the country in Kenya, and we studied the Word of God with 60 men, local pastors, and members of Primitive Baptist churches who were seeking instruction in the Word of God. And we had 60 on Friday, and then when we resumed that from Monday to Wednesday, had between 40 and 45 those remaining days. Had very blessed worship out of the Tendere Fellowship, which is the fellowship with Brother Douglas that I'd mentioned to you that he contacted us directly 3 years ago. And now we had a chance to meet him in person and all of his fellowship in person. And we baptized 26 people in that fellowship, had blessed worship in the Nechanga community with the First Primitive Baptist Church of Kisii, where Elder Martin Anyani is the pastor at, had a very good and lively crowd there. We met with a new group in the community of Oyugis between Kisimu and Kisii, and met with them twice, and they received the Word of God very readily. And during our second trip there, 10 people requested to be baptized. Myself and two other brothers came back on Wednesday, and then Brother Paul and Brother Charles stayed in Kenya for a couple more days and then went to Tanzania. And during their time in Tanzania, they were in Dar es Salaam, and the church in Dar es Salaam baptized 9 people during their time there, and went to the church at Dodoma, and 3 people were baptized during the time at Dodoma. And just had blessed worship all around in Kenya and in Tanzania. We had fervent Bible studies with the local brethren there, and we believe that was profitable, and they had a desire to take the doctrines of grace back to their local assemblies. And we would ask for your prayers on their behalf, some of these that are new to the truth, that they would be established and grounded in the Word of God, and some of the things that we introduced in brief, that they can be more established and converted to rightly divide the Word, rooted and grounded in the principles of the Word of God. And I also would like to share with you that Brother Douglas's wife, we were at their fellowship, and she was attending a doctor's appointment the following week, and we laid hands on her and prayed for her that the Lord would bless her. And we also received a report the following week that the Lord blessed her to where the doctors said they could not find any problems with her and said that she was completely recovered. And that was a tremendous blessing to lay hands eyes on that sister and see we trust the power of God manifested in healing that sister. And it was a tremendous reminder for me that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man still does avail much. And the Lord is still in the business of healing his people as we pray fervently and diligently and humbly to him. And I believe we need to be reminded of that in America, because the same power of healing, the same power of the moving of the Holy Spirit that we felt during our time in Kenya can certainly be felt here in America. But we need to place a greater priority on the Word of God, a greater fervency and joy and worship that were exhibited by those brethren. And we trust that God will send revival among all of his people, especially here in America. So it was a blessed trip, and we're thankful that the Lord allowed us to make that trip and to meet those brethren. And I certainly have a greater, more intimate understanding of the depiction of God's family that we see in the book of Revelation, that God has a people, an innumerable group of people out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. And it was a very interesting dynamic, preaching to people in a different tongue, preaching through a translator, listening to them worship God in a different language. And again, that just gave a much more intimate perception of the every nation, kindred, people, and especially tongue diversity that God has out of his elect family. So just wanted to give you a simple summary to that. And we're going to provide a link in our description to this podcast that will allow you to access a more detailed blog post with pictures and such if you'd like to check that out. But we're thankful to the Lord for a good trip, thankful for your prayers, but we're thankful to be back home. Thankful to be back home with Macedonia Church and back with you on the radio trying to resume our regular schedule. So we want to continue to think here on the program about open doors and the Lord's opening of doors. And we want to continue to look at a few instances in Scripture where we see God opening doors for the spread of the gospel and try to learn some things from those examples. So we're going to bring a message to you from the Word of God here in just a moment, and we'd ask you to stay with us if you'd like to, and we'll bring a message to you right after the song. We have been trying to consider on our program in the lead up to my trip to Africa and then my return, which we trust was an open door for the gospel, an open door 3 years ago, and an open door during our recent trip as well. And the verse that we've been trying to consider primarily as an introduction to these thoughts is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and in verse 8 and 9, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, we've seen in prior messages that God is the one that opens doors when he opens doors that no man can shut, and he shuts doors that no man can open, and especially in regards to the spread of the gospel. Very similar to the advice that Gamaliel gave in Acts chapter 5 as they were trying to restrict and silence the preaching of the apostles, and where Gamaliel gives the advice to the rest of the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 5 after they had tried to silence the preaching of the apostles, he essentially says that if this council or if this man work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. So if there is an open door, then the Lord will bless the going through that door. But it doesn't matter how much you try to press into that door. If the Lord hasn't opened it, we can't just manufacture a new opportunity to preach the gospel in a successful way. The Lord has to open that door. And notice Paul had the perception by the Holy Spirit that he was in Ephesus, and he wanted to remain in Ephesus for a longer period because he saw that a great door and effectual was open unto me. That word effectual means effective. He saw the working of the Holy Spirit. He saw the power of the gospel taking root, and he wanted to remain there as long as it appeared that the door was open. But I want you to notice that we always need to be reminded that pressing through open doors is not easy because there are many adversaries, and Satan will always be there. Satan will always be close behind to try to discourage God's people from pressing into those doors. He has no ability. Satan has no ability to close those doors, but he can discourage God's people from fervently pressing into those doors. So it doesn't need to be a discouragement when we have difficulty leading up and in the aftermath and even in the moment of God's blessing of opening with effectual doors, because there will always be adversaries. Now, let's look, first of all, at Paul's time in Ephesus. We looked in previous messages in Acts chapter 16 about the amazing opening of a door in Philippi and in Macedonia when Paul desired to go into Asia. He desired to go into Bithynia, but the Lord suffered him not. But then he sees this vision of a man in Macedonia and how he was blessed to preach the gospel there in Philippi in a region of Macedonia. And we see that God was very powerful and manifested himself in opening a door there. But we also see the internal struggle with the Apostle Paul as he's dealing with those many adversaries. Without were fightings and within were fears. And here we're going to see the same struggles, both externally and internally, of the Apostle Paul as he is pressing through this open door in Ephesus. And he arrives in Ephesus, first of all, in Acts chapter 19, and he sees some people that were believing but had not been baptized under proper biblical authority. So the Apostle Paul baptizes these converts in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is a great encouragement, certainly, to show up in a country and have baptisms that quickly. Then he goes to the school of Tyrannus, and he has the ability to preach the gospel for 3 months in the school of Tyrannus. I mean, can you imagine an old Baptist preacher having a platform to preach the gospel unhindered in a university today? I mean, what an open door, right? What an amazing, effectual open door that was opened unto him. And he stayed there for 2 years, and we see in Acts chapter 19 and verse 10 that he continued there the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So there was such a manifest opening of this door that he had the ability to preach in a public university, and all that dwelt in Asia heard heard the word of God, both Jews and Greeks. What an amazing open door, right? Then you see the Lord working special miracles by him. He's casting out devils. And by the way, I want to especially highlight that as he's casting out these devils, there are some Jews that try to cast out these devils and weren't able to and were overrun with these devils. But I want you to notice what this evil spirit says in conversing with the Apostle Paul. This evil spirit says in Acts chapter 19 and verse 15, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" Now, I want to let that sink in for a minute. You want to talk about many adversaries? The devils, the evil spirits, knew the Apostle Paul by name. He was making such an impact in the kingdom. He was making such a tremendous growth in the kingdom of God and in the church that the evil spirits weren't just aware of him. The evil spirits knew Paul by name. And I'll tell you, when the evil spirits know you by name, you're going to have some challenging times, and you're going to have to rely upon the Lord for strength, and you're going to have to spend a whole lot of time in your closet in prayer. Because the greater the effectual open door, the greater the adversaries that are going to hinder us in that door. And this is an amazing open door, right? Preaching in the school of Tyrannus. Everyone in Asia is hearing the gospel. But there were some evil spirits that knew the Apostle Paul by name. And that is sobering and in a large sense terrifying to me. But you know what? The Lord blesses his people with power over those adversaries because he cast out those devils that knew him by name. And then we see that people in curious arts, those in witchcraft, they brought their books and were converted to the truth, and they burned books that were worth 50,000 pieces of silver. This is an amazing conversion of these people here in Asia, right? An amazing, effectual open door. Of course, Paul wanted to remain here, and he actually stayed in Ephesus for over 3 years. Preaching the gospel because the door was so open and so effectual. And I would say this is one of the most effectual and effective doors that he had because he stayed in Ephesus longer than he did anywhere else during his gospel ministry. He stayed over there for 3 years because the Lord was blessing in such a profound way. But now I want to look at the other end of the spectrum. Yes, we see the bullet points of success that Paul was having in the kingdom. He's baptizing people who were previously only baptized under John's baptism. He's preaching in the school of Tyrannus. He is converting people to the truth. He is preaching to where all in Asia, all in that entire region, knew the word of the Lord Jesus. He's casting out devils. He's converting those in witchcraft. What an amazing open door, right? But now let's look at the many adversaries. First of all, there are evil spirits that knew Paul by name, and they were no doubt out to get him in every single way that they could. And those evil spirits, no doubt, and those adversaries stirred up Demetrius and the silversmiths there in Ephesus. And they bring Paul and other believers before the council and try to have him slain because they were losing money. To really emphasize the significance of this open door, there were so many people that were being converted from the temple of Diana to the worship of the one true and the living God, that the false image business, the graven image business in Ephesus at the temple of Diana, was going out of business. I mean, praise God, amen, that this was such an open door that the graven image business was going bankrupt. And those that were in that business started a riot and tried to slay the Apostle Paul and those that were with him. So now we're starting to see the adversaries. We're seeing the community uprising, so to say, that he's dealing with. And I want you to notice what else he dealt with. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in verse 32, Paul makes a reference to having fought with beasts at Ephesus. There was a good chance that he was cast into a Roman arena and had to fight with lions and tigers and bears physically and fighting with beasts to have his life saved. And if that wasn't enough, I want you to notice the internal struggles that the Apostle Paul had when he was in Asia. And let's not miss the amazing, effectual open doors that are being opened, right? All in Asia have heard the gospel, but this is how the Apostle Paul felt down in his heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. When he was fighting with those beasts, when he was being cast by those silversmiths into the middle of an angry mob, and he was fighting with those evil spirits, this is how the Apostle Paul felt. He felt beyond himself, right? We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. I'll tell you, the intensity of the open door always correlates to the intensity of the many adversaries that we will face. And this was an amazing, effectual open door, right? And this is what Paul's talking about. We've been talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, and the effectual door in Ephesus. This is what God was doing in Ephesus. But the Apostle Paul, internally, not just the external, with outward fightings, but also with inward fears. And he felt to be pressed out of measure, above strength, to where I don't think I can take it anymore, Lord, insomuch as we despaired even of life. But you know what? He said, I'm going to still remain. I'm going to stay here as long as I can to see the Lord continue to open doors. And we want to look at one more example. We see the Lord opening this door in Ephesus. And now we want to look at the prior chapter in Acts chapter 18 and the open door in Corinth. He arrives in Corinth and the Lord providentially blesses Paul to find those, Aquila and Priscilla, of the same occupation who were tent makers. And I want you to notice here he goes into the synagogue in Acts 18 and in verse 4. And he's preaching the gospel in the synagogue. When Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, right? He said in other places that he had no rest in his spirit. And he said, I'm henceforth going to go to the Gentiles. But then he goes to a certain man's house. And now I want you to notice this encouragement that the Lord gives the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18 and in verse 9. He's seeing some positive effect, but he's also seeing some resistance. And I know the Apostle Paul is probably trying to discern in his spirit, is this an open door? Is this a place I need to remain? Now he ends up staying there a year and a half. We're going to see later. So certainly he perceived that this was an open door, and no doubt this was the encouragement from the Lord that this was an open door. But I want you to notice what the Lord tells Paul. Acts chapter 18 and verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now, first of all, we need to get to the doctrinal point that God said that he had much people in this city before the Apostle Paul had preached the gospel to him. In other words, there were elect children of God that were born again, that had ears to hear, but they had not yet heard the message of the gospel, and they needed to be converted to the truth. And the first thing the Lord tells Paul here is, do not be afraid. That tells me he was afraid. He was afraid of what was happening. He was afraid of these Jews that many of them made it their life's mission to do nothing other than destroy Paul. And no doubt he was afraid of many things in this new experience, in this new environment. But the Lord said, don't be afraid. And what was his encouragement to not be afraid? It's that, Paul, I have much people in this city. I already have chosen out a people out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. And out of those people, there are some of those elect children of God that are here in Corinth. And they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear what I've done for them. They need to hear the message of the finished work of salvation by Christ alone, and to be saved from this untoward generation that they live in the middle of this city of Corinth. So Paul, I've got children of God that need the gospel here in this town, and you stay here and you preach the gospel to them. And that was enough of an encouragement to Paul that he stayed there for a year and a half preaching the gospel to them, and he had much success from that. And then, of course, he established the church there in Corinth. And it's to those same people that were believers to the truth, those much people that the Lord had in that city that the Apostle Paul preached the gospel to, those were the people that heard the gospel, that joined the church, that are now the audience to the first and the second epistles to the Corinthians that Paul writes. So notice, we see this open door. The Lord gives him an encouragement that this is an open door, right? I've got people in the city. I've got children of God that need to hear the gospel, so you stay here and you press into this open door and you preach the gospel to them. But now, again, let's look at the other end of the spectrum. Let's see how the Apostle Paul felt. We have already seen he was afraid, right? And the Lord had to encourage him and assure him in the midst of that fear. But now in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 3, Paul speaking of his initial preaching of the gospel to the church here at Corinth, in verse 3, and I was with you in what? in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So we see that in the midst of this open door, we again see the Apostle Paul having these internal struggles. With outward fightings, within were fears. I was before you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And I tell you, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. It's a fearful thing to preach the gospel. But it is a fearful thing to preach the gospel in a new environment when you do not know how people are going to respond to you. I'm thankful that I felt the Spirit of God during my preaching in Kenya. But I'll be honest with you, I was in the church and I knew that the people who were hearing me wanted to hear me and they wanted to be there. And that's an entirely different experience than the Apostle Paul was preaching in Corinth. But he was afraid. He felt to be weak and he was trembling in fear. But you know what? The Lord gave him an assurance. The Lord gave him a confirmation by the Holy Spirit of God that I have people in this city that needed to hear the gospel. This is an open door. Now you press into those doors. But I'll tell you, that doesn't make it any easier. I can speak from experience. It doesn't make it any easier down in your heart when you feel to be so weak, when you fear to be afraid and trembling down in your soul. That's when you need the overflowing power of the Holy Spirit to press into those open doors. And certainly our sufficiency to press into those open doors and faithfully serve Him is only by the Lord. But we see from these two examples how the Lord has manifestly opened doors in Ephesus and in Corinth. But the greater the intensity and blessing of the open door, the greater the challenges are going to be, both externally and internally. But we trust in the Spirit of God and the power of God to give us what we stand in need of, to faithfully press into those open doors, to bring the gospel to the children of God, just like in Corinth, that needed the message of deliverance and liberty from the bondage that they have in the world around them, to bring them the message of the gospel, because the Lord had opened a door to preach the gospel unto them. And we need to be found pressing into those open doors. And next time we hope to consider our necessity of praying for open doors consistently and diligently in the kingdom of God. May God bless you this morning.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.